building motivation within the for the learners to read, to want to read, to enjoy reading. And that's achieved with our beautiful room filled with books and places to practice all the parts of reading comfortably. Let's see. And then relationships, of course. So those small groups really allow us to get to know the learners and make sure they feel like they're going to belong. Okay, next slide, please. The question you might be asking is, why do math in a reading room? Well, it allows us to solidify concepts while supporting teachers' standards and curriculum goals using literature. And when you do that, it makes the elements we want students to learn about more salient in their minds. We want a dynamic and relevant instruction. So sometimes between units or at other times, there's natural places to include fun and enriching learning activities based on student interests. And that's what these two projects are all about. And they look so young in this building. I'm looking at these two things that we did and I'm like, oh my gosh, within, you know, the high school library. Oh gosh, look at those. They're so elementary. And so also thinking together is important, and project-based learning allows us to do that. And it's super meaningful because it is like apprenticeships, and that's the best way to learn for the human brain. And one quote that I really like by Peter Johnston is, thinking well together leads to thinking well alone. And so when we do that, thinking with students about a topic across curriculum, it is really supportive of their, what's that word? Like brain power? It's not that, though. Thinking skills?
Metacognition?
What's the word?
Metacognition?
There we go. Thank you. And
education speak.
Yeah.
Thinking about thinking.
Thinking about thinking. Thank you. And then there's strength in that integration. So the more connections that to their own lives and then to other classwork, the better. Also, this process helps demystify test questions because you're working on comprehension. And in this particular one, we had students writing their own word problems. So maybe by making one and building one, you kind of understand them better. And then the coolest part is helping all the students shine. And let's see. Okay,
I'm just going to pause because Heather logged in and she would like to see, so I'm going to share my screen.
So we do a whole lot in our classrooms, in the elementary and in the reading room as well, and I like to make it, I just like to put it out there for students to know what they're doing and why. So this simplified version of this wheel with the parts of reading on it helps me do that. So I can say in this activity, we're working on our fluency, or we are working on our phonics skills. And as they do that, they kind of get some ownership over what they're learning. And then they understand that that progress that they made is because of their own work, which is really important. Okay. So that's like a picture that I took on the carpet of something that's attached to my wall. Oh, here it is. Right?
You actually brought
it. I think I've had that in my room for 6 years. Okay. All right. Onward, please. Not sure what's next. Okay. So with these third graders, we read this amazing book, How Long is a Whale? And there's actually a video on the next slide of Lalale reading the book, if we want to listen to it. I don't know if I'm going too long or if you want to hear her book.
You could listen to a little bit of her.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's the very next one. And then after she reads a little bit, maybe I can explain more about what we ended up doing.
Which part? A, California sea life. Which are as long as seven leather back and tail.
Self-correct right there.
Bottle nose dolphin. Six bottle nose. Which are as long as.
Do one more page.
Five box goldfish, which are as long as.
Thank you. So it's a super cool book. And when I showed Mrs. Martin, she got really excited about it too. It goes on to talk about what else is as long as these other sea creatures. And it just so happens that all of those things are as long as one humpback whale. And then you take two humpback whales, and that's as long as one blue whale. So there's some amazing math in there, which was exactly what they've been working on, because they were doing repeated addition, and then it's a measurement. So actually, it was Thea who said, and this is in a different room, a different group, where we read the same book, of course, because it's so cool. He says, I wonder how long a blue whale is if you compare it to our school. So that's what this right here is all about. Mara, if you would back up to right before Ramala, please. Thank you. Okay, so those are the three students that got to participate in this because I had one absent. But this is what they made. So they drew. They chose to draw a blue whale, a great white shark, and a killer whale. And then we went about trying to figure out how to compare those to the school. So, Martin and I had to shrink their little pictures down. And I ended up getting out the plans for the school to make sure I had the correct length of the school, which is 350 feet here, as we can figure. And so we shrunk these sea creatures down so that they would fit alongside the school right there that's common in the roof that they've seen. So it was really neat to watch them glue these on and really realize how big the animals were. So you'll see that later on the next steps. One thing that we'll do is have them write about this experience of measuring against the school with these animals. So we're not quite done with this one. You might want to know, it's 3.5 blue whales. It is 21 great white sharks and 3.5 great. Let me start again. 3.5 blue whales. 21 great white sharks and 14 orcas, not and. Or, good, you got me? Okay. All right. So that's one of the things that we did with third graders. And next, there's some second grade work. A couple slides forward. All right. So this book is my absolute favorite. And one of the things that's fun about it is I know all the words, so I don't have to look at the book. And they all think that that's pretty amazing. So it's nice to read this when I'm talking about fluency, because I don't go super fast, right? So you talk about the feelings that you're trying to impart while you're saying those words and trying to tell the story. So it's a super fun book about a dog who has a party while his owners are gone. And the one time that they come home early, he's having this party. And so so we looked at the math standard, which just happened to be adding within 20 in a word problem. So Mrs. Brock was super excited when I told her about wanting to do a math exploration, because she said, oh, we're doing word problems. So we got to use one of our favorite topics, dogs. Some of the students just got new dogs. And so I set up a template for them because this was really new. So I said, think of a few different kinds of dogs. and think of a number of those dogs, and then write about how your dog or Stanley or some other dog invited certain amounts of certain dogs to come. And then it's important to use all together or total at the end. So we're using math vocabulary and trying our best. So we have some fun examples here. There's three students. There's Thea's.
Skipper and Chuck.
Yeah, Skipper and Chuck had a party. And they invited. Oh, if you go forward one, there's a slide of them. I don't know if that would be easier or more difficult to read. But we can do one example, maybe. Yeah, Skipper and Chuck had a dog party. They invited 3 pugs, 8 huskies, and 5 golden retrievers to the party. And then all of the dogs came. How many dogs total? So, we had a lot of fun. And they wanted to just write big, long stories. And so the first time we did it, they just wrote pages and pages and pages about a dog party. And I had to say, oh, hold on, we're trying to make a math problem. Do you want a 4-page math problem? No. Okay. So maybe next slide. I wish I had them here reading their problems. Be awesome. So extensions. For what we've already started, when there's a good time, according to teachers and our schedules, third graders will write about what measurement was like with sea creatures. And Thea wants to measure whales against Mount McKinley. So that's going to be a little bit more work. And then fourth graders are going to look at this book called Lion's Share, which I found in our amazing library. And it's all about sharing a piece of cake between various animals. So fractions will be perfect. And I wanted to thank Becky Martin for her mathematical expertise, and Jill and her. Really, like, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
No, you're fine. You're any fine. Questions?
Yeah,
questions. I don't have any questions, but I'll say that both of my boys have worked with Eliza throughout the years and have adored their time with her.
Thank you. You have amazing children.
Well, thank you.
And there might be spelling errors there, because the point here was not spelling. The point here was creating a math problem. I do recognize that there's spelling errors.
Thank you for coming in and sharing that.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Next time I'll bring children. I know those are better.
All right. Next we'll move on to student representative report, Charlotte Martin.
So in the last meeting, we finished board of one. And at our ASB meeting today, we were talking about how it kind of felt like things were back to normal. From before COVID, and we haven't had any major problems with that so far, so that's really nice. And it seems like this year has started off with a lot of like enthusiasm and school spirit and things like that, so that's awesome. And the volleyball team is in Skagway right now, and they get back tomorrow, and wrestling has been traveling too. They were gone for part of last week. And we had the Honors Music Festival at the end of October a few weeks ago. And from that, Megan O'Soup is going to state for choir, and Eleanor Candle is going to state for band. And that's the first time in several years that someone from Petersburg has gone to state for that. Also, Mr. Crump received a CARS grant of $4,000 the virtual reality headset for the district. And this will be used mostly for the interactive Spanish courses, but also for other purposes beyond that. That's
I'm glad he got that.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. Any questions or comments for Charlotte? It's exciting to hear, though, that he got it, because the last meeting he had applied for it and was waiting to hear. Yeah. So great. Okay, any correspondence, Mara?
None.
Okay, next we'll move on to comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay, seeing no one or nobody online, Mara? Okay, comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, we'll move on to comments from board members. I don't know if we want to, or maybe our conference is on the agenda already, so anything unrelated to that, maybe board members have any comments? No. Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda then. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for November 8th. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any comments? Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to our draft audit presentation. Our financial entity, BDO, is the district's accounting firm, and they're going to present their draft fiscal year 2022 audit of the board via online or Ring Central, and we'll have an opportunity to ask any questions and accept this under new business. So we can go ahead if he's on. Oh, great. Okay. Okay.
It's Vicky.
Vicky, are you available? Vicky? Oh, Vicky.
Can you hear me? Good evening, everyone. I hope you can hear me now.
That was us.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
All right. I am trying to find out if I should share my screen or if somebody can use this file. I mean, if I can share my screen, it'll be a little bit easier. So let me just do that. Let's see if that works. Can you see that now?
Yes,
we can.
Okay. All right. So my name is Vicky Shrestha, and I am the partner in charge of the audit for the school district there. We at this point, we've completed majority of the work, and we are pretty close to the finish line. So I'd like to first start by thanking Karen, Erica, and everybody else that helps us get all the information that is required to complete the audit. It's a big undertaking. It's a, you know, it's a big financial statements, and then there's a lot of additional work that we put on the district employees because we have to request a lot of information as part of the audit. So first of all, what you have right now is our audit wrap-up document. That's the report that we give to the board members every year. And then we also have the draft of the financial statements. The draft of the financial statements still going through a few review process, so it's not completely finalized yet, but it is pretty close to being final. So everything, we don't really expect the information in the draft to change drastically from what's been presented right now. So first of all, I will go through the audit wrap-up documents, and then I will go through a few financial highlights and focusing on the few areas of the financial statements that we think is relevant for this presentation purpose. All right, so I am going to go through my slides a little bit here. So basically, just the welcome letter over here just says that we are presenting some of the relevant information that we believe the board members should be aware of regarding the audit. So that's what we talk about right here. Then I'm gonna go to the page that's labeled the status of the audit. So as I said earlier, we have substantially completed our audit of the financial statements. The big bullet point that I'd like to point out over here is the first one, and I always like to point out there is when we do an audit, we don't look at everything. The scope of an audit, it does not cover everything that goes on in the district's financial statements. For that, we'd have to basically be an employee over there to look at everything there. So we focus on material items or items that are above a certain threshold. We focus on items that are more risky in our opinion, related to the district. So basically on that note, we focus a lot on your revenues that are recognized. And then because you're subject to federal and state compliance requirements, because you get funding from both, both the federal government and the state of Alaska, you are subject to compliance audit, and then certain programs are audited for compliance. So there's a lot of random sampling that goes on too. And like I said, we focus on like your cash, your accounts payable, some of your items there that we believe are more risky or are higher dollar value. The third bullet point over here, we expect to issue an unmodified or a clean opinion, and we're planning to print by November 15th. We expect to issue an unmodified or a clean opinion on the district's single audit, both for federal and state side. All records and information that BDO requested was freely available for inspection, and management cooperation was excellent throughout the whole process. Next, we talk just pointing out the results of our audit. Your significant accounting policies and procedures are included in note one in your financial statements. And then your new recently issued accounting pronouncement that's going to affect the district in the future is also included in footnote 11. One of the estimates that I would like to point over here, your financial statements do include the liability, assets, and other deferred inflows and outflows related to your the pension plan that the district participates in at the state level. So PERS for your regular employees and TERS for your teachers. And then there is an audit done at the state level, at the Division of Retirement level, that there is a separate audit done by other auditors that actually audit the allocation of the amount to the district itself. And that report is available through the Division of Retirement, and the liabilities and the assets that are booked in your financial statements is directly from those audited reports. So the management or us do not make those numbers. Those come directly from those reports. The next one, just results of our audit, just good to know for you. This is really good result is we don't have any significant corrected or uncorrected misstatements that we need to report to you for the financial statements itself. The next one is internal control over financial reporting. As part of our audit, we just don't look at the financial numbers. We actually go and look at, before we do the audit of your numbers, we actually have to get an understanding of your internal controls around your financial reporting process. And because you're also subject to an audit in accordance with uniform guidance and the state of Alaska audit guides for your federal and state programs, we also have to get an understanding of your internal controls around your compliance requirements. And as part of that process, if we note any issues, we group it together into one of the three categories described over here: a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or a material weakness. Any issues that we deem to be in the significant deficiency or material weakness bucket would also be presented as the finding in the financial statements and would be reported to you. Anything that we deem to be control deficiencies are usually just discussed with management. So as part of the audit, we noted no material weakness. We did have one significant deficiency that we have to report related to your state programs, and we can discuss that when I present the parts of the financial statements later. Other communication, there was no significant changes in our plan strategy for the audit. We're not aware of any consultation that management had with other accountants regarding any accounting matters that we disagreed on, or we didn't have any other many disagreements with management or significant issues that arose during the audit. So that's a brief overview of the audit wrap-up document. Any questions so far?
Okay, no, we don't so far. Thank you.
Okay, now I'm just going to go through a few sections of the financial statements as the highlights for the year. So the draft, this has also been sent to the board, I believe, but I'm just going to go through a few statements in here. So the first statement that I'm going to go to is just exhibit A1. This is your statement of net position at a for-profit entity or something like that, that this would be a balance sheet. This has all of the assets and deferred outflow of resources, everything that you own. That gets reduced by your liabilities, everything that you owe, and then the difference between your assets and liabilities is your net position. As you can see, your total assets and deferred outflow resources at the end of 2022 was $10,090,000. Out of that, $2.6 million was in cash, almost $2.3 million was in your capital assets. And then a big line item here, you have a big net OPEB assets at the end of the year for $3.9 million. I would expect next year that number to go down quite a bit. The reason that number is so high this year is because of better market performance. And then one thing to note on this pension assets and liability is it's not something that you can use or pay off. It stays at the state level, and you're just legislatively, it's just been capped at you need to contribute 22% for your PERS employees, and you need to contribute 12.56% for your TERS employees. So that's how that payment is made for that liability and the asset. And then the big liability in sitting on your books is really your pension liability of $3.3 million at the end of 2022. And that leaves you with your net position at the end of the year of $2,191,000. And one thing I also want to note over here is this statement includes your long-term assets and liabilities. So this includes your pension liabilities and your capital assets, but these are not the numbers that you usually budget based on. The next statement we go to now is what you use in your regular budgeting process. So now I'm going to go to exhibit B1, and then B1 is your governmental fund balance sheet. And basically, there is a calculation that the school district has a number of funds. I think there's probably close to 25 or 30 funds. And then there is a calculation that needs to be done to determine if any fund meets a definition of a major fund. So if any of your funds, your assets, your liabilities, or your revenue or expenses exceed 10% of the total, then they get presented as major funds. So for the district, because of that 10% liability number, bunch of funds do get presented as major funds. So in here, you'll find the general fund and a few other funds. The rest of the funds are grouped together in your non-major governmental funds, and there is a schedule in the supplementary schedules of your financial statements that has the full activity of what makes up that non-major governmental funds. So when you go to this level, your total assets was $3.3 million. Out of that, $1.6 million was in the general fund, $551,000 is in your food service fund, and your capital projects have $743,000. And then you have the liabilities, but the all-important fund balance number, $3,036,000 was the total fund balance in your governmental funds, out of which $1.5 million basically is in your general fund, $551,000 is in food service, and $743,000 is in your capital projects funds. And then your non-major governmental funds have $260,000. Majority of that is for your student activities funds. Following that, I'm going to go to Schedule B3. So this one is your statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balance. So this is basically your income statement or your profit and loss for the year. This one shows all of your revenues, all of your expenditures, and the difference between that is your net change in fund balance. For 2022, the district had $10.9 million of revenue. A big chunk of that, $6.5 million, almost $6.6 million, comes from the state of Alaska. A majority of that, $6.3 million right here, is mostly through your foundation funding and your percenters on behalf. Your local sources was $2.5 million. I believe $1.8 million of this is the borough revenue. And then you do receive a bunch of funding from the state that actually comes from federal sources that gets passed on through the state. So that's your funding. And then your expenditures pretty much followed your funding. You brought in $10.9 million, you spent $10.988 million in expenditures, leaving you with your change in fund balance of $13,913 for the year. Majority of this expenses and revenue, as you can see, out of the $10.9 million, $8.4 does live in your general fund. And for your revenue too, out of the $10.9, $8.3 is in your general fund. So that's a brief overview of the financial statements itself. Now I'm going to move on to the result of your single audit or your federal and state single audit. And that's all summarized on page 116 of the draft. And then this is your schedule of findings and question cost. And in this statement, basically, we just summarize all the activities. So types of report the auditor issued. So it's an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. On the financial statements part, we didn't note any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies or any non-compliance. For the federal award, same thing. We don't have any findings for us to report to you. Last year, if you remember, we had a finding on child nutrition, but I think that's been resolved at this point. And then we also had to do the audit for your state schedule. And for that, we are presenting one significant deficiency, which we're going to talk about in a little bit here. So there was a situation at the district this year where for your foundation, the state of Alaska requires that you have to submit your account information by November 5th of every year. The report was filed, but it was just filed after that date. So basically over here, you are still in compliance, but you didn't meet the compliance as far as submitting it in the date that they noted. So we are presenting this as an internal control finding. So I think the district is putting in place calendar invites and those kind of information so that there's not going to be a delay in this reporting in the future. So that's really a high level overview of the financial statements. Any questions or any other areas in the financial statements you would like me to go over today?
I just was curious if this was like, is that something that's checked every year? So this just happened to be a fluke year, which yeah. I'm going to assume is.
Yes, it's going to be checked every year. It's just I don't know what happened, but anyways, once it doesn't meet, the controls in place are not working as intended. So we just got to strengthen that process.
Okay.
So the emails go to Erica and I mm-hmm. about the fiscal, the following year's ADM. So mm-hmm. It wasn't about fiscal 22, it was about 23. Mm-hmm. So we have to send a projected estimate for fiscal 23 by November 5th. Erica and I normally get the same emails and we normally email each other the email that we just got. But what we didn't do is we didn't communicate and email it to Mara because Mara's the one that submits the report. So I got an email Monday morning, it was due on a Friday. I got an email Monday morning saying, if you're receiving this, it might be that you haven't submitted it. So I forwarded it to Mara. It's like, she had no idea. So it was an internal control issue. It was a lack of communication between Erica and I and an assumption that we both made that Mara knew what to do, even though we weren't forwarding the emails to her. So there's not a financial implication, but the internal control is that we were not compliant with that report. And so, and Bicky knows we tried to contest it, but the state did not penalize us for
turning that's the good part. Not normally they don't, you know, unless you don't submit that. Basically, I mean, that's what they base your funding based on. So they are really diligent. They'll follow up with you. Why haven't you filed it and all that stuff? And they'll make you file it pretty much. But they do have the requirement, and it's just black and white, right? Has it been filed by this date or not? If it's not been filed by this date, then there's a problem. So that's all that you run into here.
So Erica and Mara got a pop-up on their calendar on November 2nd
for this year.
Was it?
Yeah. Was it on?
Okay. We already fixed it, Vicky.
Thank you. November 5th passed already. That's right.
We're on it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for them? Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it look like we have any? Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And like I said, I'd still like to thank everybody at the district to get us all the information. And we should be wrapping up soon. And you guys have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to administrative reports. First, we'll start out. Superintendent Clint Painter.
Hey. Well, as you can see, we don't like it when we mess up on something, even if it's just a black and white paperwork thing. So we have fixed it within 15 minutes. We like working with Vicky. It's very good. Okay, so here we are in November. That doesn't quite seem possible, but we are here. Had a great in-service last Monday on Halloween, and some excitement, of course, with other things happening later in the afternoon. So luckily everybody's here and has power, and no people were injured in the course of that whole thing. So we're very happy about that. Very tired kids and people on Tuesday, but we made it through that as well. And we had focused in the elementary on Smeckens literacy program, and in the middle and high school, we did some work around formative assessment and school climate and some school goal setting. Our policy committee will get together again. We have a couple more AASB policies to look at. We also have one of them, I think, is actually the cybersecurity policy that's becoming more and more prevalent. Nicole's World, actually, we deal with Susan on that. And they just, and I had already been in a conference in that in September. And it just continues to ramp up with requirements for schools, trying to stay one step ahead with vulnerabilities. And unfortunately, as John says about it, it's people, we're the gatekeepers, but we're also the weak link, people in general. So we do, it involves a lot of different trainings. We do a lot of those already to sort of help people understand what's phishing and what's spam and what do you do with that and how do you report it. And just there's a lot of people who make things look very real when they come. So working with students on that too, and staff. Continuing to work on our kind of update that's separate from AASB, but it will be coming through AASB because it is being reviewed there at the state level. Tobacco-free, updating the tobacco-free school campus policy. So that's coming down the pike here at the state level and also with the Activities Association, because it's an issue all across the state, as most of you know from the last weekend of conference. Lots going on with the READS Act, lots of webinars, trainings, grant opportunities, all kinds of things coming in the last week and a half. Our district will be participating in a couple of those opportunities. It's coming, so we figure we'll jump in and be part of the grant opportunities and trainings that are coming. It's a lot. There's still opportunities for us and for people to be able to give feedback on the regulations and just talking with Sarah a little bit about today and just determining what things are statute and what things are still being determined by deed and how it all gets interpreted and actually how it gets implemented, because it's a lot, especially for our K-3 teachers, for administrators, for our pre-K programs as well, and for those instructors. So there's a lot coming. So we're jumping into an RTI refresh grant. We have a team that's working on that. There's four people on that team, and there's also a grant program coming out related to the kind of the core English language arts reading program and curriculum. There's some funding attached to both of those. We don't know how much funding with the ELA grant, so that one's a little bit challenging just because of that. It's it kind of depends on how many districts put their name in the hat to be part of it. So that makes it hard for us to plan because it's something that we would need to also potentially offset some of the cost with our own district funds. So we're working through that process. We'll see how it goes. Both of those are happening. The state has selected a screening tool for K-3. They will provide it free of charge for everybody next year. If districts want to use a different tool, they can apply for a waiver. At this time, we've decided we're going to go with the screener that they've selected. It's actually the double screener. We used it some years before. And so we'll probably start piloting that as well this spring. It's going to be happening in place in the fall anyway. So we're just jumping in to all of it and doing it and trying to also keep our breath measured and know that these things come and there are still things to be worked out. And we know that. So we're just trying to keep our sanity in check on that. Emergency drills, we are still working through our regular monthly fire drills. We did an earthquake drill, Great Alaska Shakeout on 10/20, at 10/20 on 10/20. They do that all around the state, so we did that. I shared the Alice lessons and a draft parent letter, and we're hoping to get those out and going in mid-November. Vaping update, I won't spend a ton of time. We went into this a little bit last meeting, and I know there's been a lot of conversation about it, but just to give a quick update on it, that we've been participating with a number of groups locally and around the state about kind of what's happening and what resources are available and how districts are handling it. It's definitely an issue everywhere. Hearing more and more about it from different districts around the state. And so we're all grappling with the same sorts of issues. So there's sort of some comfort in that, I guess, that we're all working through these things together, sharing resources, sharing things that are working. Katie was able to jump on a call with one of those sessions last week, the American Lung Association, and they did send us some feedback on our policy and some suggestions, which I think will be really helpful for us when we sit down to look at that policy. There definitely the research is backing, as we discussed last month and over different periods, looking at this focus on cessation programs and alternatives to suspension and not just kind of keeping everything about a consequence, but really trying to dig into that. The vape sensors definitely are acting as a deterrent in a lot of districts that have them. They're not perfect. None of it is. So challenging, but we're going to keep moving forward with that. We also met, our district wellness committee met last week, and Nicole was there as well. And if there's an opportunity later for you, of course, to update anything you want from that. And we had a great turnout and lots of good school partners there, community partners, PMC, Search, Parks and Rec, Public Health, lots of groups here, some good conversations about school meals and healthy challenges. And excited to also introduce Laura Holder, our school nurse. She jumped in with both feet. She's dealing with head lice already. And there we go. So she's here. She's great. We're really, really excited to have her. She's part-time in the building, and she's been excellent to work with, and everybody's really enjoying getting to know her. So we're just trying to get her around so people can meet her and kids and people. Also met with the LCG Land Tech last week, and I will let Aaron talk about that a little bit during his report. Still working through the three roof options and where we're going to go with that and why, and some calculations that they still need to do about added weight to that roof. And we got lots of engineers going. Statewide, AK Star Summative Assessment data came out. It will be released to the public this week, at the end of the week. And then we will be mailing or handing out individual student reports from the summative assessment from the spring. So those will probably go out with elementary during conferences, I'm thinking, and then we'll mail middle and high school. And then just want to really keep getting the word out there about the upcoming Veterans Day parade that we're doing on Friday at 9:30, and trying to put the word out all over the place about that. And we're really looking forward to it. It was a lot of fun last year. The kids really enjoyed it, and I think they got to really interact with people a little more in a parade, and I think people enjoyed being in a parade. It's pretty cool to be celebrated that way. So all are welcome. 9:30 Friday, Veterans Day.
What's the route?
Parade. They will line up on 5th over by the elementary school by the Children's Center. Mm-hmm. And we have the Coast Guard Color Guard will be leading the parade. And then kids, there's some music, the middle school band, high school band. Elementary kids, I think, have a song they're singing. Have, the banners, some cards, quilts of valor, at least one.
So they'll go in front of the elementary school through Parks and Rec parking lot in front of the high school, out through the middle school. Like,
okay. I was just thinking if people are downtown, are they going to go through downtown?
They need to come up to the school if you want to watch and participate, okay. And you're welcome to do it. We actually had a lot of people last year that came up, and it was totally fine. And you can go anywhere you want along there. The middle school band, if parents and people are out there, they will be playing under the kindergarten kind of entrance at the elementary school, because it's covered and it's like the start of it. And so if people want to see their middle school kids, that's where they'll be, your band students. And then the 3rd through 5th grade will be singing kind of in front of the Catholic church outside. And then high school band will be over here at the high school under the entrance.
Okay.
And, yeah. So it'll be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you, Erica.
Yeah, you got
it. We will now.
Heather's report is just written. She
yes.
She said if you have questions, she will answer, but she did not.
Okay. Since we're not on the air, probably isn't necessarily, I guess, I don't know. We want to go through it or not, but so a lot of similar information looks like they have. She was shout outs to the pumpkin patch donation for Bennett McGrath and Kurt Burchill for his nice 50% off discount to the pumpkin patch. And then she's got literacy night coming up for K-8 students. And Rachel will be headed to our elementary school counselor will be headed to the school counselors conference the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Looks like our enrollment for the elementary school pre-K through 5th grade is 213, with our SPED numbers at 44 and 5 referrals. Some days to keep in mind, it looks like we had 22 days of absences. Am I reading that correctly? In September, and again, the same thing. Am I reading that correctly, Erica?
I think she's just looking at the total, total school number of absences in September.
There were 22 days of
22
school.
22 days. And
of them 12, we had
12 absences per day.
Wow, is the average. Mm-hmm. That's quite a bit.
Yeah.
We have several after school programs that are offered, and they're going well. And then it looks like they've got some professional development, which you kind of touched on earlier, which was the Smeckens Literacy Station training for reading block. Conferences are coming up on the 21st and 22nd. And of course, we just talked about the Veterans Day Parade. Bring your parents to PE. Oh dear. I know, but so man, you realize how old you are when you do that. And then also the public library has some Stream of Dreams, which is a grant program they're facilitating. So great. All right, next we'll move on to our middle school, high school principal's report. Principal Moss, welcome.
Good evening, everybody. That was a color coordinated outfit for the assembly this morning. Left it on all day long. My report is written, so I'm actually just going to focus on really a couple of a smaller sample of it, because it's consistent with what Erica said about the vaping and taking a more comprehensive view of how to address it. And so a similar approach is being done to address student behavior by calling in, using, accessorizing the community and the families in general to solve these conflicts. Because a lot of these things that are perceived as, say, bullying aren't really bullying in a traditional sense. Often what they are is an escalation of long-term, this is a town where they've grown up together since they were 7 years old. So he who feels aggrieved one day is the next day razzing the other one. And often these things are just getting out of hand. And so we had a lot of success. We've had a couple of meetings already where we've set up it sort of happened serendipitously, where two sets of parents came in at the same time over the same conflict. So I said, here we go. Let's see if there's the willingness to address it like this. And there was. It was wonderful. And the boys, you know, the parents talked it out, the boys talked it out. And it was just terrific. It was a really good result. And that's kind of a model that I would like to use more to sort of have a community-based solution to some of these issues. Overall, I have to say that what I'm hearing from a lot of different sources, I'm hearing from students that there's a lot more time in class, or rather less time that is spent teachers redirecting behaviors, which means more time on task, so that there's uninterrupted instructional time from bell to bell. It's just the incidences of students not being in class and being off task is way down compared to the way it's been in other times. I'm hearing from custodians that, site maintenance staff, that they're not having to deal with vandalized bathrooms, for example, which was an issue last year to the point where doors were taken off the bathrooms, or they were locked or something like that. We're not doing that. And so that's a very conscious choice. I'm hearing from students who have been homeschooled in the past that they're not being homeschooled this year because there's more faith that things are working out in the school site, so they don't feel a need to be homeschooled, which I think is an improvement. I think even if one homeschools, I think there's a utility and benefit to going to school at least part of the day for our homeschool, you know, people who choose to homeschool. So overall, I have to say, like my the Beatles that I channeled in the beginning, it's getting better all the time. It really is feeling really good. I wish I could spend more time with a high school. Middle school's got my hands full, but that's good for the school in the long run because we'll have better high schoolers. But I gotta say, high school is a real treat. I go into the library when high schoolers are here just for my daily dose of sanity, to come and be with high school students, because they're just wonderful. The students in the high school are just terrific. And they all are, really. I mean, even I think the boys are kind of, the boys who are, you know, well known in town are misunderstood, and we just need to channel their energy in a positive way. And we're doing that. And it's gonna take time. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but it feels right, and it feels good to deal with them in this way. And that's pretty much all I have to say. The rest is in writing, and if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them.
Any comments or questions?
I like that not so punitive approach to, you know, those kids who are maybe causing issues, and finding some alternative ways of redirecting.
Well, I said at the very beginning to staff, I said, if we think we're going to extinguish all of this, punish our way out of this, it's not going to be effective.
Yeah.
We have to have consequences, of course. And so I actually had 9 boys who have been sort of at each other for years, truly, in the here, right here, in the, right here, one morning, and just sort of, I wouldn't say read the riot act, but laid down some, you know, some expectations about how things were going to be. And we indeed had some people who challenged it, and we did have consequences. But from that particular meeting was the more restorative practice that I just told you about. So it's good. It feels right. And there's, as I get to know the school and the community better, I see these opportunities that I wouldn't have seen when I first arrived. So that's all going really well.
All right. Thanks. Yep. Great. We'll move on to Director of Activities report. We know Jamie is headed back from Skagway. Did they get the camera fixed? I'm curious.
They got the camera fixed. And I did hear Jamie was doing a jump serve this morning, warming up. And
he was injured.
Yeah,
he was injured.
Oh, no.
I was watching the game on the working camera and noticed Mr. Ball wasn't there, and then saw him enter on crutches.
Yeah. So. Oh dear.
But he's still there. You know that.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
He's having some.
No, the first
medical
games was the floor.
Yeah.
You could see
the
floor and occasional foot.
Yeah. I was excited to watch the volleyball games up in Anchorage, and then I was like, all I can see is the referee's feet and the floor.
Yeah.
So they eventually fix it.
So. The next day.
It only took a day.
It was on Monday.
Oh, Monday. Yeah. Oh, you were trying to watch Friday night? Was it Thursday or Friday night?
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, he did provide a written report, so we had, I'll just go ahead and go over it for the recording so that if people do listen to it, they'll get an idea. So we had PHS Swim and Dive. The season is completed, and swimmers had a great showing in Juneau at the Region 5 Championships. And congratulations to Coach Andy and Coach Kayla on a great swim season. Middle school robotics continues. PHS Volleyball, as we just heard, they'll be returning from their final seeded tournament for regionals, and future schedule is to play Wrangell on the November 12th, which would be soon. What's today? This
Saturday. That would be Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. So it's a home in Petersburg, yeah. And they'll also do senior night that weekend, and then region tournament is in a couple, just the following weekend, it looks like, the 16th through the 18th, and then Kloak. PHS Wrestling, their season continues, and they've been doing well. PHS Music, we had, as we heard earlier from Charlotte, but has three selected musicians heading to, they headed to Haines for Southeast Honors Music Festival, Eleanor Candle, Megan Osoup, and Daniel Osprey, and they were representing the high school, and then Megan Osoup earned All-State Music Honors and headed to Anchorage on November 19th, and it sounds like then Eleanor, I know, was an alternate, but I wonder if she's now going. Is that what we found out?
I wonder. I didn't know about Daniel.
Daniel, yeah.
So I must have.
No, that's all right. He went as Southeast, but the other two, okay. I think. I know Megan got State, okay. And then Eleanor was alternate, but I wonder if she moved into primary now. I don't know. Middle school basketball and cheer, they were supposed to go to Wrangell for the Stikine tournament the 11th and 12th. Are they, is that still on tap?
They're only going on Saturday.
On Saturday, over just play Wrangell.
Oh, okay, so just that day. Okay, that's what I was wondering. The last I had heard was,
yeah.
Okay, so just a Saturday trip, yeah. A day trip. Mm-hmm. Okay, next we have basketball and cheer beginning on November 30th, right after Thanksgiving. So make sure your Planet HS forms and physicals are up to date. And another reminder, do your sports physicals now. For the 2022-23 calendar year. And I will say it is much easier to get into the clinic now with those additional hires. So if you need to, your child needs that physical, it should be a lot easier. There is PHS gear you can order from the Viking store online. And you can find that on the PHS Activity Athletics web page on our website. And more additional information you can always find on the Activities and Athletic Information page of the website. So, okay. Next, we'll move on to Director of Facilities and Maintenance Report, Mr. Muller. Come on up.
It's really exciting to be here. He loves to talk on the evening.
I saw a pallet of ice melt today at AML, and I went, here we go.
They're on
a strategic replacement.
Yeah,
got it.
So, you can see winter's here, and we are as prepared as we can get. Shovels have been replenished, replacing all the ones that were broken that we have here. So kind of prepared. New snowblower has been ordered, hopefully be here next week.
Good.
Snow removal machines are ready. Some of the smaller projects we've been working on, as you can see, we replaced the district office front entry deck and stairs. We have prepared the district office roof to help combat the ice dams that build up over the winter. Hopefully we don't get any leaks this winter.
Knocking on wood.
And we plan on to install E-tape on some of the flat roofs to prevent, you know, water from building up next to the second story buildings created by ice dams. You know, the problems that we abandoned last year. Mm-hmm. Or we have snow again. All right, and so the RIP report from LCG Land Tech had come up with three different options. Option one was to replace metal roofing and keep cold attics. In this option, the intent would be to leave the current design approach as it is, a new layer of plywood and roofing, underlayment, or ice and water shield in the valleys at the eaves would prevent water, which might penetrate the metal roofing from entering the channel. You want to find pros to this option is cost effective and will eliminate many leaks. It can be installed without additional structural calculations. Cons, this option does not address the structural issues of existing attic heat loss and ice damming. The lower roofs will still be in danger of puncture damage from falling ice. Because this option will not eliminate ice damming, it is not recommended and is not preferred option. Option two, replace metal roof panels with R35 rigid insulation and metal roofing. In this option, the cold vented attics would be turned into hot unvented attics. The R35 rigid would be installed above the structural deck on a new layer of plywood. A new venting cavity would be installed above the rigid insulation to further eliminate any heat transfer from inside the building by creating a vent pathway. This option allows for the R value to be brought up to the current code and eliminates the existing problem of the building heat loss forming up the cold attic. The building fascia and soffit panels would be rebuilt using an insulated metal panel or rigid insulation and metal siding. This option would add significant weight to the existing roof. So they got to do load calculations, which is a amendment to the contract. So they estimated about $14,000 extra on top of what we already have paid in the original contract.
What the boroughs paid.
The boroughs, which is they should. Yeah. So pros of that, ice damming has potential of being eliminated and the roof construction would meet current code standards. Cons, snow will still slide off the metal roofing and potentially continue to cause damage on the roofing on ground below. So basically flat roofs. All right, option three is replace metal roof panels with R35 rigid insulation and asphalt shingled roofing. This option assembly will be the same as option two, but the top finished roofing material would be an asphalt shingle instead of metal roofing. Pros to this, benefits of option two also apply here. In addition, asphalt shingles are not slick and retain snow on the roof. This prevents snow from sliding off and crashing onto the membrane roofs below. Asphalt shingles are also fairly easy to and cheap to repair compared to metal roofing. Cons, asphalt shingles do perform poorly where ice damming might occur, have shorter life expectancy, and are susceptible to melting when burr is present. The risk of ice damage should be greatly reduced, but birds are likely to steal roots on the roof. And they recommended option three is their preferred option as it resolves the issues of ice damming and ice and snow spontaneously sliding off damaging roofs below. So we had a pre-designed schematic design team meeting on October 21st. With Dave Landis from CERC, who is helping us guide us through this process, and also with LCG Land Tech. So what was discussed at the meeting, the LCG team summarized their report findings and presented options for both pitched and flat roof sections. Since the roof hadn't been either originally engineered or constructed correctly, a design change and corrective measure will need to take place to fix a longstanding issue. The team's major decision will be replacing the metal roofed sections with either new metal or composition shingle material. Several issues factor into this decision. The weight of whatever new roof assembly is chosen may be a limiting factor. The present tendency of ice damming needs to be addressed and stopping future flat roof damage resulting from ice and snow sliding from the pitch roof. From the flat roof sections, a TBO roof has outperformed the EPDM material and has shown resistance to burr damage, pecking holes in the material, and should be the preferred material for re-roofing those sections. The shorter parapet walls on these sections must also be addressed since the metal flashing have failed and allowed the parapet's wood material to rot in a number of areas. And where they have rotted in some of the areas, we have also rotten pan decking in some of these corner portions of the building, like the high school office and the council's office, or new principal's office. So those have to be addressed as well. Points were raised regarding the need for insulation of plywood and ice and water shield over the roof span decking, gutters and heat trace being needed. Options for changing flat roof sections to pitched were discussed, as well as drainage from flat roof sections, the need for and types of snow stops for the pitched roof, and the need for application of foot traffic, ice impact areas on the flat roof. So we would install thicker material on these membrane roofs to have a nice walking path, because TPO roofs are known to be slick. So they have no grips, so we would end up putting a thicker walkway in for us to be able to work on them safely and to help take on some of the blow from icefall. Trapped heat in the pitched roof attic spaces as a result of both improper design and subsequent modification have been the main cause of the ice damming. The LCG representatives advised that rather than trying to make the roof a cold roof, it would be preferable to keep the roof hot with the addition of ventilation cavity above the layer of rigid insulation below the exterior roof layer.
Can I ask a question? When sure. you say keep the roof hot, are you talking about heating that attic space or just insulating it?
Insulating.
Okay.
So right now we have cold attic spaces. Yep. And with the different building transitions, you know, the original 50s building, the 85 edition, 75 edition, it's just with all those different transitions up in the attics, it's almost nearly impossible to insulate each transition.
Okay.
So that's where we're seeing some of our heat loss. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in past gaining access to some of these areas, there are penetrations made, so we have heat loss going through there mm-hmm. as well. All right, status of work. Since LCG is only contracted for the final schematic design, there are outstanding structural engineer questions about the allowable roof load. It may make sense to have them do calculations during this stage of work so a good estimate can be produced by HMS. LCG will send a proposal to this district as an amendment to the current contract, ballpark estimating around $14,000. After discussion of alternates, LCG will submit drawings with flat roofs with TPO material and metal pitch roofs with a deductive alternate that may include composition shingles. Depending on issues, the district will follow up with the feasible referral. So walking through with LCG Atlantic, you're getting into every nook and cranny of this place. And yeah, it is noticeable that we have a lot of people going. And we discussed that rather than doing a shingled roof, the second option would be our best option, but there are going to be probably a little bit more added cost to that with trying to put clipped on snow stops on there. Mm-hmm. And also talk about gutters and heat trays just to eliminate some of the icicles that build up in between where the buildings come together at 90 degrees. So, and that's as far as we got. So we're waiting to hear back from them, or
yes.
the city.
Well, the amendment, and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll move on from there. Are there any questions?
I will make a comment. We did discuss, just for the rest of the board, to reduce, not our distaste for shingles, if at all possible. But also, I know the conversation we came up with is they said there are new building codes that we'd have to have a higher R factor. But I'm also on the housing task force, and Ketchikan and Sitka have been successful in getting themselves exempt from the higher R factor for construction because we don't live in as cold a climate as the rest of the country or rest of the state, you know, recognizing that we are not Anchorage or Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And so that task force is looking into getting Petersburg exempt as well. So if that comes up during that discussion, we may not have to go as high as, what was it, R90 they were going for, I think? It was insanely high.
It was really high.
Yeah, that it would be kept either at where we're at or just higher. Maybe a little bit higher, but not. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah so it was just something that mm-hmm. in the last week I've found all that out. So, yeah.
And I think it was also interesting during the discussion that it went from the original proposal with the shingles to, I mean, after we talked about things like the whole issue with birds here yeah. and the different materials and what they do to it and the damage that once you get in, it's yeah. And so exactly. So I'm kind of going all the way around that and then talking about ways to address the ice damming and the problems that could be an issue with the metal roofs. And I think we ended up coming all the way back around to that being really the primary proposal. Yeah. At that point, so yeah, it was a good meeting.
They're mm-hmm. very good meeting. Very
they're
insightful.
They're detailed.
Oh, yes.
Is that it?
I think so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to committee reports. Crisis, Katie.
Like we've met. No crises. Uh-huh. I mean, there is, but we haven't met as a committee about them.
Okay. Facilities, Jay is not here, but we just kind of went over that. So no legislative liaison or negotiations policy. You guys have been working hard.
We're yeah.
doing our second reading. So
we'll be meeting up again soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later. No, Jay, again, is not here for technology, but I don't think they've had a need to meet. And then wellness. I think you guys had your meeting recently.
Yeah, I got to attend the first meeting, and I took some lengthy notes, but Erica gave a really great recap. Vaping was a big topic of discussion and some different approaches to that. Also, Rachel had some good discussion on the College and Careers Fair and bringing that back. And she talked about how it's normally held in the spring, but that most seniors at that point already know their path. So finding other ways to integrate other young adult hot topics in there, like what's a lease agreement in terms of an apartment? What does a credit score actually mean? And where are both physical and mental health resources located at their school? Could be some other subjects to incorporate. Jamie gave a quick overview on activities. He said that more than 50% of middle school students are involved in a club or activity, and we're currently offering 26 clubs and activities, which is the highest of any 2A school. They talked about the free after-school snack program for any kid who's heading to any kind of after-school activity, which is great. And then kudos was given to the food services team for keeping those snacks on campus, so there's been less debris left behind by the kids, which everybody liked. Karen talked about Go 365, which is the district's health insurance-sponsored incentive program, which not only gives a 2% discount on the district's health insurance premium, but also individual incentives. And Karen had brought up a great point that she'd love to see a similar program expand to all staff, since not all are currently members of the health insurance plan. What else did Erica not touch on? Stephanie from Parks and Rec said they just wrapped up basketball, and I wanted to say a big thank you to coaches and volunteer refs. That was great. Both my boys participated, and they loved it. January brings volleyball, and then hopefully a soccer session will follow, but they're going to need more volunteer coaches and refs there, too. And she said that there's been ongoing discussions around ideas for keeping kids busy and engaged after school, which would be awesome. And... let's see, what else was in there? Ashley with HIP said that Project Connect will happen the last week in January, and they're going to start their collection soon. Everything from hygiene products to apparel will be needed. And Sam with Search Mental Health said that their program and services are going well. They just hired another employee. He said there's concern about the suicidality of youth in the community, and he'd also like to see more support for the LGBTQ youth in the school. And Ms. Colton, who I believe is a high school teacher, said, said that she wanted to make that her November project as well, and was happy to see additional support from other resources. And Dino, Mr. Brock, said that he was running into quite a few elementary school kids using slip-on shoes for PE. So there's been some public outcry to families to get appropriate footwear, which brought up additional conversation about different resources available in the community. PIA's offer of $100 reimbursement for those supplied purchases can include shoes and swimsuits. So that's an opportunity for families to take advantage of. And Lee's Clothing also has some resources available for those who might need some assistance in getting good shoes. And he had also talked about bringing your parent to PE. Which,
sorry, it was brutal when I went last time.
Dad in our home, yeah.
The dad's coming
meeting.
Full force for the dodgeball.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't attend the wellness meeting because of landslides and things, but at our school board conference, I did attend the tobacco-free workshop, maybe I should praise it. So I got to connect with some of our American Lung Association folks that we had our Zoom call on. Mm-hmm. And then next week when I go to the AK After School Network conference, I am planning to meet with Charlie S., who... helps to structure youth initiative programs to help prevent vaping and tobacco use and just less than favorable life choices, really. So gonna connect with him too and see what else he can maybe offer to us and hopefully bring something back for our student body.
Be great. So.
Great. Thank you for your reports. That was a nice thorough.
I didn't know how thorough I was.
Oh no, I enjoyed thorough. It was very helpful. It's great. The rest of us have just been it's been pretty quiet except for policy now. Okay. Any special recognition? I don't think so. Okay. Old business. We'll move on to our public hearing for our second reading about our policies. I guess I don't have a list of them, do I? Sorry. Thank you. Oh, I guess I do. Where's that sheet? I know I had it just a minute ago. Nope, that's a different one. Okay. There's a lot of them. I'm going to go ahead and recess to public hearing on board policy 3450, 3510, 3514.1, 3514.1, board policy 3515, BP 3530, BP 3540, 3541.1, board policy 3542, 3550, 3590, 9200, 9270, and 9260. Oh, I gotta read all those too, don't I? The following list of board policy updates are all language changes and removes the No Child Left Behind and provides references to the Every Student Succeeds Act. Although they don't need board approval, we're going to also include it just in the public hearing. Anybody wanting to speak? Seeing or hearing no one, anyone online, Mara?
No, just in.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and make a motion to approve the policy updates in the second and final reading. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded by Carrie. Any discussion on any, all of them, some of them, one of them? Okay, hearing none. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Sure. Charlotte Martin? Yes. Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we will move on to new business 17.1, which is acceptance of our audit. I'll make a motion to accept the draft audit as presented tonight. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Any other discussion on the draft that was presented this evening?
Which will be mailed to your email addresses. Sent that out just prior to the meeting. Okay. So the drafts that he was speaking of and the presentation,
okay,
we sent to your email.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to review it, but
he hit the highlights, which is usually what he does.
And but I actually go through each page and make sure we have all our grant names correct. And
mm-hmm. You audit the audit?
I audit the audit. Oh, it does.
Goodness.
So just so you guys know that if there's any change in it for any reason that's like significant that has to do with money, we will certainly bring it back to you guys, but
okay.
I don't suspect there'll be anything.
Okay.
Right from our report, so.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to accept the draft audit for the fiscal year 2022 budget as presented this evening. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, 17.2, which is our grant award acceptance. The board will be presented with a list of grants the district has been awarded, and we will vote to accept or not the grant funding. So I'll make a motion to accept the fiscal year 2023 grant awards that will be presented to us in just a moment. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. So you want to briefly go, or no, just go over them for us and then we'll turn to discussion.
So our total special revenue grants is $974,572. It's each of these that are listed. Most of these are pretty much status quo grants, meaning that they're repeat grants. We get them every year, with the exception of the ARP ESSER 3. That one is $349,605. I did put a note in here. That's the grant award that we currently have sitting with DEED, but we're only budgeted right now for $177,000. So the plan in place is to carry forward funds to next year because we have till fiscal 24 to use that. So we've been kind of leveraging those funds just to make them go longer. And part of what we're using these funds for is for the nurse position. Also additional support services for students with counseling. We have one middle school position funded in the grant, but other than that, it's and some supplies, but it's pretty, it's definitely shaved back from last year what we were using the ARP funds on. And then another new grant that we have, which we just received the award, is the COVID school-based testing. And this is really similar to the keeping schools operating safely last year. And Eric and I still have to write the program details on it. But ironically, Aaron had just placed a, what, $12,000 order for new filters district-wide for the air HVAC system. HVAC. So we're definitely going to use these funds to cover that expenditure. So, and then, of course, as Charlotte had talked about, the CARES grant is on here. So that's a new award, not one that we get.
Cars.
Cars. What did I say?
CARES.
CARES. Sorry.
CARES Act.
CARES.
But it's CARES. CARES.
Well, there's CARES, CARES Act. CARES. CARES. Yeah.
So that's on here as well. And so we're very happy that Dustin wrote the application and received the award. So all the other ones are just status quo. We get them. We've had them every year that I've been here. So about 12 years and probably much longer than that. So if anybody has any question, I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions?
Is there an expenditure date for the ESSER 3? You said you're carrying it over 24?
Fiscal 24. Okay. So we have this year and next school year to use those funds. Most grants are 1 year. They're within one fiscal year.
The SROSA is for professional development. I'm wondering about that. Helps to fund travel and registration for professional development.
And during COVID, it funded online training and then bringing some different, bringing the SMECNs into the school district as well.
It can be used for out and in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to accept the grant awards. Mark, please call the roll.
Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmgren?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 4-0. Next, we're on to discussion, the AASB. Three of our board members, Carrie and Katie and myself, we were able to attend the Alaska Association of School Board Conference held in Anchorage last week and went into the weekend. And so we'll take a few minutes that we can share. We kind of divided and conquered over several days of sessions, work sessions. We met with students from all over Alaska because they also have a youth leadership component that goes on during the same time. And I know I came away with, and I said earlier today on KFSK, realizing how functional and healthy our district is compared to what some of the struggles. And I've thought that each year, but I think it became really apparent over the last couple of years for some of these districts that are have been struggling for a while, and then now they're really struggling, where teachers are literally and staff members quitting mid-year, just walking out, and or they had a 40% staff turnover rate from last year to this year, and they still haven't filled all their positions, and just the stress levels that they're dealing with are we're dealing with plenty here, but they're dealing with even more, and just reminding about how thankful I am, although I also came away very frustrated with some of the mandates that our, you know, every district is supposed to step up to. But overall, I thought it was still as usual. I think I go up there thinking, am I going to learn anything? And I always do. So I'm appreciative of that. I did go to a couple different work sessions that were specifically for board president, and I will apologize to Nicole and Carrie, especially of how terrible I've done at onboarding new board members, finding about what I'm not doing and should be doing. So I'm going to try better. I've got some ideas. Hopefully the whole board will come along too, to do a couple work sessions. Just one was go through your board policy bylaws. Just have a work session. That's all you do is you read the 9,000s. And so that we're making sure we're doing everything we're supposed to do, but also it reminds us what our actual role is so that we're not stepping into the weeds too deeply or at all, and sticking to what we're supposed to be doing and not meddling, but also being supportive where we need to be. So that's kind of what I came away with.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I was glad that I had the opportunity to go this year. I definitely enjoyed talking with other board members and admin from different places with very different challenges, demographics, different things happening. That was really interesting. Some really great stories from board members. They had awards during the business luncheon. Some really, I was crying, I think, through all the awards. Really meaningful folks talking about how they weren't even allowed to go to school when they were in high school in certain parts of the state. And now they're a school board member and how important that was to them. So really kind of brought home the importance of, you know, that kind of public service and the ability for everybody to have education. So, yeah, just lots of good work sessions related to, you know, HR practices, the READS Act, and kind of hearing the state's perspective and then hearing all the school's perspective on the reality of how that's going to happen. And gosh, yeah, I felt like everything I attended was, it was a well put on conference, kind of hit all the different perspectives. A lot of talk about preparing students early on for post-secondary life in general, and not it being one avenue, but a spectrum of avenues, and how to do that, and some really creative ideas. So anyways, that was great for me. So, yeah.
I think I walked away, there was a big focus, I think, on restorative practices and recognizing the generational trauma that much of our state has had to endure. But with that comes the power of collaborations and partnerships and the strength in those. And so I think that was the biggest thing that I came away with. And I'm in a really fortunate position where my school board service does overlap so much with my other volunteer service, as well as my actual real life job. And so just trying to figure out ways to leverage all of those things so that we're benefiting the community. So yeah, great conference though. It's always, I think the best part is always talking to the students, and
yeah,
they have roundtable sessions where we get to talk to kids from around the state and other board members as well, and kind of what they're going up against. And it was really humbling, like kind of what Sarah was saying. But hearing these young people say that the number one thing we can do for their district is find houses for their teachers, and thinking about having these young people think about issues that aren't just about themselves was pretty incredible. So trying to find ways to really influence their whole community was really cool. So yeah, good conference though. Mm-hmm. Happy I was able to go.
Okay, great. Any questions for us? I'm putting you on the spot. So hopefully you'll be able to attend at some point, but I know it is a big family obligation when you take off for several days, and then you're also taking off time off work to go volunteer.
Yep.
And sit in. Okay. Any additional comments? Oh no, I skipped all the way forward. Bell me back up. 17.4, our strategic plan, mission and vision. The school district has hired ASB, and they have worked with us before in the past to review the district's strategic plan. And in 2017, a planning group consisted of community members and district representatives established a mission statement and a vision for the district. The board is now being asked whether they support the mission and vision statement as is, and if so, the strategic planning group will build from there. If not, the board may ask the planning group to return to the drawing board. And this discussion will help. We're going to establish the direction for the strategic plan committee that will hopefully take place in January, which we've already scheduled, because ASB is about 6 to 8 months out if you need their help. To get them to come down and help. They do have a lot of they have staff that have done this for years, so it's quite nice having them. They've done probably hundreds of strategic plans. So I also learned during one of my superintendent evaluations of a different type of evaluation of looking at the strategic plan and building our goals from there. So it was kind of interesting. It was a different way of doing it, but also even the superintendent review, just kind of flipping it around so that it's more meaningful than just a worksheet. So hopefully you had a chance to look this over. If you haven't, here's our strategic plan that was developed back in the, was it fall? Oh my goodness. Yeah, fall of 2017. And of course expired last year, but we had bigger issues to deal with. So now we're back looking at this again. So those were our goals there. We had four that were pretty clear. Continuous growth in all subgroups, that we hope all students will graduate prepared for the future, regardless of their plans, and in partnership with the families and other stakeholders in the community, expand the student learning and the community involvement for greater global citizenship, and that our school community will feel safe and valued. So then you flip it over, you also have our aspirations, and then our vision, mission, and beliefs. So our vision being inspiring to all to become responsible and healthy citizens. And also Petersburg Schools will advocate for continuous growth, promote a healthy environment, and provide diverse educational opportunities where all students achieve. And then we had our beliefs to advocate, promote, and provide different things. So
I think mostly when we talked with Timmy a little bit, Tullis, mm-hmm. about this, she was, we were trying to craft what it, where we should go next. And when we did this in 2017, we had a pretty, it was a pretty out of date plan that had, I mean, it just had been done differently, I think, in previous administration mm-hmm. and boards, which was fine, but it was just different. And so we ended up spending most of the first day, honestly, or 3/4 of the day was on the vision and mission. Mm-hmm. And so basically what Timmy wants you guys to sort of chew on and think about, as far as direction, if you feel like, you know, basically, do you want to really dive back into those two things, or do you feel like those, the vision and mission still, you know, apply as far as the overarching direction for the district? And then if you do feel like you don't really want to dive totally back into those, but you want to get into more, you know, back into sort of the meat of the goals and talking more about that and maybe putting those into action in different ways, then that kind of helps them shape, you know, their training when they come and the amount of time that it would take and, you know, all of that. And then also she said, depending on, you know, if we're not diving full on into the vision and mission, it might be more like a day or a day and a half instead of two. And that some of the time could also be dedicated just to the board, like prior to doing it, the whole group work, and having some time just for kind of board work, board training, board focus on this before the larger group. So it's really up to you, which, you know, kind of what direction you want to take it. And then we have some things that have to take place. You know, there's some surveys that go out to families and students and staff, and they want to have feedback and things that are sort of in place before they come in January. So we're ticking along.
Well, I will admit I still feel pretty strongly with what we have. I'm certainly open to diving into it again, but I feel like I also think it's a pretty strong one still, our vision and mission. But I can see if someone, you know, certainly would be open to starting from scratch too again as things have changed, definitely since when we sat down originally.
So assuming that we don't, I agree, Sarah, I think the vision and mission are great and the beliefs and the goals, assuming that there's no major changes then that we propose or a direction, then what happens with AASB coming to help review? What does that process look like?
I think it's more of a focus on, we leave the vision and mission alone for the most part, or we do, mm-hmm. and then we're able to dive more into
specific goals.
What, how do we want, you know, do we want to look more at the goals? Do we want to look more at even action planning beyond that? Mm-hmm. Timelines potentially, you know, that sort of thing. So kind of fleshing things out a little bit more at that point.
That's where I lean towards.
Okay.
Is maybe revisiting goals mm-hmm. based on goals. Our mm-hmm. vision and mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goals and some smart objectives.
And maybe our aspirations are still reviewed. I mean, it's, yeah. And I know those are kind of, as I recall, they were the pie in the sky. We'd love to meet this goal. And I would say, you know, although we don't get, you know, we do have a high graduation rate, but we don't have 100% every year. And I would say that not every kid feels safe and valued. That's just common. You're going to get a certain percentage of kids, but are we moving the needle further to the 100%? And then 100% of our students participate in co-curricular or community activities. I don't know if, you know, especially if kids aren't involved in the school, but are they involved in Parks and Rec or Viking Swim Club or something else? Maybe we are closer to that 100% than we ever thought. So maybe different, you know, if we need to edit our change our aspirations because we've come up with something different, that's fine too. Maybe we should have time to do that too. Mm-hmm. Unless people, you know, unless the group feels comfortable with the current aspirations. But I'm open to either.
And the previous plan, what, how long had that been in place?
I think so, yeah.
Decades?
No, I think it was less than that.
Okay.
But it was pretty, it was very, very specific. Mm-hmm. And then had these like, it must be done by this date. And but then it was like, well, how do you get to that? Was there a plan in place? And none of us, maybe you had been part of it, but I wasn't part of the previous strategic plan. It was kind of like, let's just start over. It was pretty antiquated. It was an old style one. And I don't know if it was just, yeah, I just remember looking at it going, ugh.
So how deep does our strategic plan go? Like, so as a district, we form a plan and then we pass it off kind of to the other schools. Principals to like to actually make their smart objectives with that and their plans of action.
Right. And that is what AASB, if you don't revisit and have to do all of that,
we can start dipping into that.
The admin team with how are we going to achieve the goals that you guys,
which seems more beneficial.
Yeah, that seems really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that in itself is like a huge
task.
Process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just finding the time to dedicate to doing that work is really hard. So if we have time set aside, that'd be nice.
And Timmy's suggestion was that if you want to put the vision and the mission more in front of yourselves, to start linking back some of the items that are on your agenda and relating them to a part of the mission or a part of the vision that it would fit with. So you going to the AASB conference would be
advocating.
You know, how would that relate
to
your mission and vision? And there's a lot of school boards that do that, and they make that announcement prior to the item, like item number 17.2 relates to the mission in this way, and it is grant acceptance or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I know this is something, I mean, minor detail, but we have our strategic plan in the district office conference room, but we never have it like where we actually are meeting.
Yeah, like
yeah. So maybe let's have Devrin print two of those next time or something.
We make those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And just like have it available for us
and
here
so that we can look back at it. But you're right. They're definitely gone at this
point. I think that's the only place I've seen it is in the conference room.
They were up in different places for a while, but you know, they've been pulled down.
They were probably put down in 2018.
And we're like, we're done with this.
So. Okay, so I still think it'd be valuable. So, and the date we have her set to come is
17th, 18th, 19th.
I think I wrote that down already.
So she would fly in on the Tuesday, and she had suggested to, when we talked with Sarah about this, that she could do something with the board potentially that
evening.
We could do, you know, we've done that before, or kind of a pre-session. Mm-hmm. We could take Wednesday to doing the work and looking through these things with that team, our committee, and then potentially then have a plan on that next day. She would leave on the afternoon jet on Thursday.
Okay.
And there's quite a bit of turnover from previous committee members.
Mm-hmm.
So while we will keep the same kind of structure of this many teachers, this many students, this many community members, etc., there aren't too many that actually who were on the original strategic plan that are still in those positions.
So is this one of those things that we try to avoid a quorum for, or do we just post a notice that we might all be there?
We only had two board members.
It was me and you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that out of just because you were the two that could make it, or was it?
It might have been because everybody else had
you didn't want
day jobs that were harder to get out of.
Okay,
yeah,
and we can post that if more.
Yeah,
okay.
Board members
if you guys
want. So it's not limited to just two.
No, I think I think some of it too was just finding a group that could take 2.5 days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
from their lives, and because we were there from half a day and then a full 8 to 5 pretty much the next day. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, the morning before and the chief
looked. 2 full days.
It seemed like it.
Mm-hmm. And then we did the previous board.
Yeah.
So we were like board members for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was starting from scratch.
Yeah.
It really was. And it was a group. I would say it was a good group of planning. People were on task. They did a great job at focusing. For the reasons we were there. We did up at the fire hall, which was helpful just because it's a large area.
Yeah.
And then you weren't interfering with school going on. And
yeah.
And we will be at the fire hall again, Aaron, has to Aaron with that. And of course, we'll be inviting Charlotte to miss school and come.
Mm-hmm. You'd be one of our students there.
Yeah,
I think we usually have one or two. I think last time, didn't we?
Jack
and
Maria.
Do we ever include any middle school reps from that? I feel like if we're building a strategic, they're too young for it. Even our eighth graders. So. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
So we have some business partners.
You think so?
You can see from the name.
Some eighth graders that could do it.
Focus all day on.
About a tribal.
Maybe not.
We did have Jeanette on there from PIA. Several parents. We've had Parks and Rec, and Stephanie is interested in participating on this, which I do think she's obviously an important partner. We had both at that point, Rick and Terry were on as the principals. We had a special ed rep, business with Holly. Paul was there as a parent and Forest Service. So there's no set. It has to be those people in those, places, but
trying to get a cross section.
Yeah.
And that people it could take the time off. That was also a consideration.
So if you have strong feelings about sort of an entity, maybe that you sort of a direction you'd like us to start organizing people, like that, like Forest Service or other community agencies or that kind of thing, even people that have maybe expressed interest or that you yourself may have wanted to encourage or, that sort of thing. We are going to need to start.
Yeah, contacting people soon or now, just because then they can
work
a plan. And
all that.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a couple hours in the evening.
Right.
And then hopefully I would like to at least maybe block out that evening, the 17th, just now for even board members, all of us, if we can make it for some just general board training from here. Timmy, she's been doing it for, she's been at ASB for 20 years.
She's so fun. I think
that's what she said.
She's so fun too.
Yeah, she's not, she's there. Doesn't make you sleep. That's for sure.
She probably wouldn't allow you to.
Keeps it moving.
So I don't know what topic we would want to, maybe that's something to think about, or she can even suggest something, but I think it'd be worth at least a work session with her for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay.
You want that after business hours?
Yes.
Ooh, dinner. That sounds fun.
Right? 6 to 8, just because it's kind of like our board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Food.
Okay. Okay. You feel like you have a little bit of direction from us?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you have, just like I said, we just want to, the 8th, and then it'll be Thanksgiving and then it's Christmas and then it's January, So it's kind of like, we just want to make sure.
You make winter seem like it's going to go really
fast.
I know,
it does.
Until the 17th.
Until February.
Forever.
17 years.
There's that. Okay. Any additional comments from board members? Okay. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements?
Just the biggest one is Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm. Parade at 9:30 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then before we know it, as my son reminded me, Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Future agenda items.
So we do have, for the next meeting is when we will be able to have the map and the AK Star data.
Okay, so let's put that on the agenda then.
And they had not released all of the scores, so that's why it got moved from November.
Okay.
And now it'll be December.
So let's put that on there. And then I guess if we want to revisit this at all, if anybody has any, otherwise we'll just keep plugging along till January, till we really dive into it.
I don't know. It might not need to go in the board packet, but with that maps and STAR data, I attended that workshop too about those, which was frustrating, but it is what it is. I was not aware as a parent that there was like a link to the maps, like a parent link of resources. So maybe we could have that available.
The parent portal?
Yeah, the parent portal. Yeah. Because I think it would probably be helpful for some folks to better understand even how to talk to their kids about the testing and all of that.
Yeah, they
have that available or remind families that it is there.
They provided some good draft tools that we can use when we do send things home or share with families where to look if they want more information, that kind of thing. So, we can do that.
Just, remind folks that it's there and available.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? You can always contact me or Mara or Erica if you think of something else that you want to put on the agenda for next month. We usually meet about a week ahead of time. Any other new business? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. You have a second?
I will second that.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Have a good evening.